Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end up 1 or 2 hour show and keep the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Both with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats. The 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with 5 knights at the round table. 5 Philly guys, diversified and educated.
Of course we are. Happy Super Bowl Sunday, War Room Nation. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports and Sports the Book. On that WRS Podcast Network, I'm Devin McMillan. I'm at the round table as usual with my homies, Jimmy the Blueprint Williams and the homie B. Austin. Super Bowl 50 is hours away, so for the next hour, we'll be tailgating and giving our last-minute thoughts on the big game. So keep it locked right here for that hour, and if you want to holler at us throughout the show, make sure you join us right now in the JW Philly Realty chat room at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom, or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. However, the Digital Extreme Technology Hotline will be open for the whole show, so we encourage you to call in right now to give us your Super Bowl picks. That number is 323-410-0012. Shout out to everybody on the War Room Sports Podcast Network. Just visit warroomsports.com and click the WRS Podcast Network, or you can listen on the War Room Sports mobile app or on iTunes. Make sure you check out the network because we have some great things going on, something you can do every day on your spare time. But look, we only got an hour this afternoon, so fellas, let's go! What's going on? Happy Super Bowl Sunday, fellas.
What's going on, beloved? I'm sitting here, man, you know, trying to calm my nerves right now. I'm going to have a little anxiety going on.
Yeah, because for those that don't know, you know, Jimmy's a Denver Broncos fan, so he has a dog in this fight, no Mike Vick. It's crazy. Like, I only remember being in this position once, you know, as a Philadelphia Eagles fan. We were in the bowl 2 times in my lifetime, but I'm not going to sit here and even fake like I remember what it felt like when I was 2 years old back in 1980. So, you know, the last time I had the feeling that you had that you have right now, back in February of 2005, it was actually a warm day that day. I remember that because I actually did a real tailgate out on the grill outside of my house, because it was unseasonably warm that day, and I thought that might have been a good omen, but it was not. We all know what happened, but Jimmy, you felt this feeling quite a few times in your life. Denver gets there. They don't always come out victorious,
yeah,
but they
I
get
mean,
there.
The first 3 times, man, might have been like some of the worst days of my life, 55-10 being the worst. The Washington loss was terrible. Although I took some solace in the fact that an African-American quarterback won the Super Bowl, not saying I'm trying to have that repeat today, but I'm saying I took some solace in that. But when the Niners whacked the show.
You have that situation going on now, and it's not
just
the whole African-American quarterback thing, because we've kind of been there, done that. We no longer have that void in our community.
Yeah, but when
it's a little bit different because of all the racism and – you know, all the culturalism that's been surrounding him. Yeah, throughout the playoffs, it's like, you know, I would kind of like to see him win, even though I'm more leaning towards rooting for your team because I've always been a Manning fan. I think he gets a bum rap. You know, I'd like to see him go out on top. But for me, it's like I would also like to see Cam win to throw it in the face of everybody who's had something to say that really wasn't football related. So it's definitely a little quandary, but I understand your position.
Yeah, man. When the Niners waxed us, though, that, like, hurt my life. I'm still affected by that to this day. I still have nightmares about that 55-10 score because Joe Montana was showing off.
They beat them.
they beat the breaker. But the thing about that, though, looking back at it, like, our team wasn't even that good. A couple of those bowls that Elway made it to, in his early career. Yo, our team wasn't that good. It was just that Marty Schottenheimer would choke and Elway, like, single-handedly sometimes made magic.
Yeah, he would do it.
But at the same time, man, that Seattle game was a little different too, because I was so pissed at the Ravens game the year before when I thought that we had a better team, that the Seattle game pissed me off because of the way it started. And I was watching that game with you. Like, you saw me just, like, disappear and you know, I was affected by that, but not the same as a 55-10, man. So I'm just looking forward to the day and see what happens.
Okay. That's what's up. Well, look, before we, before we get started, we definitely got to pay some bills. And, you know, we got to these bills are some of our own bills, because this show, the Super Bowl 50 pregame tailgate, is brought to you by Sports the Book, written by the War Room Sports own Jimmy the Blueprint. Look, are you guys tired of reading the same old sports book with the same old tired sports lists, rankings, imaginary starting lineups, etc.? Well, be sure to pick up your copy of Sports. Smart people only read the sports. This is the Illmatic of sports book. It's a mixture of sports and hip-hop culture that'll keep you mesmerized from beginning to end. Trust me, I've read it twice. I wrote the foreword. Like, it's the shiznat. So, look, just go to sportsthebook.com and get your copy, or you can get it from our website at warroomsports.com. Just promise us one thing. Just promise us that you won't miss the movement.
All right, fellas. I be reading, yo. I be reading.
That's what they say.
Hey, yo, Dev. Before we even jump into it, the homie Will Garland, who's a War Room sports, he just hit me up, said, you know, he can't call in because he's fighting for our country in the desert right now.
Yo, you're breaking up, brother.
So salute to him. Oh, you can't hear me?
You're in the matrix.
Man, they trying to stop my message.
All right, well, let's get into this, and then you can tell us what Will was trying to say.
Once you get away from the agent.
Yeah, he got Agent Smith on his tail. All right, Super Bowl 50. What's Will Garland trying to – what's his pick for the game? DJ Will.
DJ Willie G, 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 G.
Jimmy's still trying to get his audio situation straight. last night was the NFL Awards. This is, you know, what a lot of people have been waiting for. I mean, we did our awards show maybe a week after the regular season ended, so those picks have been sitting there being stale, you know, waiting for us to find out who really won these awards. And I have the list of the major awards, the ones that we do here on this show, because, you know, the NFL, they make a spectacle of everything. So they have all kinds of awards because they got their own show now. It's like the NFL ESPYs. But we're going to go on the ones that we do here in the War Room. And the Coach of the Year was one Riverboat Ron Rivera. Shout out to him, who will be coaching in Super Bowl 50 today for the Carolina Panthers. Comeback Player of the Year. This one was pretty easy. I think I may be the only person in America who didn't pick Eric Berry to win this award. Offensive Rookie of the Year was Todd Gurley. Defensive Rookie of the Year was Marcus Peters. Now, these are the official picks. These are the Associated Press picks. I just want to mention that, you know, in the award show, they had a Pepsi pick. Pepsi did the Rookie of the Year, and that was Jameis Winston. But, in NFL records, that's not really going to show.
Because Pepsi cut a check. And, you know, it's all about getting these checks.
They're like, we don't care if it's official or not. We just want it announced so y'all can, you know, say Pepsi. Defensive Player of the Year was one J.J. Watt. They might as well just rename the award the J.J. Watt Defensive Player of the Year Award. Offensive Player of the Year, Cam Newton. And your new reigning NFL MVP, Cameron Newton, who will be testing his new MVP wares in the Super Bowl later on today. Any of these picks that you guys just disagree with, even if they weren't the people that you picked, is it something like, oh no, this is robbery? I think I'm pretty cool with all of them.
I think Aaron Donald should have got it for Defensive Player of the Year, but I'm not mad at J.J. Watt being picked. I think that's one of those cases where he wins it so often now he has created his own standard and bar. So it's kind of like I'm measuring him against himself. In any other case, he would have had a great season. He's deserving.
Yeah, that's like the Greg Popovich effect. Like, you don't ever want to make him coach of the year because he's Greg Popovich. And,
right,
you know, same thing
right.
with Belichick. Yo, what I was saying before the Illuminati came in and tried to stop my message was the homie Will Garland sent me a message. He's literally in the desert right now. Everybody knows he fights for our country, but he's a supporter of the War Room. He's listening to the show live in the desert with his comrades. He said he can't call in, but he wants to pick Carolina, but he can't call in because he's literally in the desert right now.
Shout out to Will and all his comrades that are out there in the desert doing what they do.
Shout out to the servicemen, man.
Shout out
to the servicemen.
All right, look, J.J. Watt, he said after he won his award, he was like, I was a two-star recruit coming out, and now I have 3 Defensive Player of the Year awards, so screw all of you guys for doubting me.
Damn! Yo, everybody was on that. Cam said something like that in his speech, too. Like, Cats is really on their, you know what I mean? They on their vapors, John. They get at everybody that caught the vapors.
You thug. Yeah. But listen, here's something that I don't agree with. Not necessarily the people who made it, but the 2016 Hall of Fame class was announced. You have Brett Favre, Jimmy's favorite quarterback of all time, Tony Dungy, Kevin Green, Marvin Harrison, Orlando Pace, Eddie DeBartolo Jr., Ken Stabler, and Dick Stanfield. That's your 2016 Pro Football Hall of Fame class. Is there any name or names glaringly standing out from this particular list?
Don't do it, Jimmy. Just let him.
I ain't saying nothing. I'm going to go ahead, B.O.
We're not talking about who's in. Who's out?
Terrell.
Like, what name is Bowling. Glaring? Like, why are they doing this to T.O., man? I mean, you kind of knew it would happen because we know how Hall of Fame voting goes in every sport. And when they have a problem with you, they have a problem with you. They're not going to give you that distinction of being a first ballot Hall of Famer if they thought you were a jackass. But
and that's the point. So let's take a stand. I know I'm hoping that you brothers are with me. I think I know you well enough. Let's take a stand and say the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, and whatever enumeration of ballots don't matter. You get in. You know, all of this. Vindictive stuff that writers do. The most recent that comes to mind for me is Art Monk. I didn't think Art Monk is nowhere near on a Terrell Owens level, which is why it's a Trav Sham mockery that
but
T.O.
At that
is
time,
in the first box.
That dude, he had every record.
But he didn't deserve to. Yo, it took Art Monk like 20 years to get into the Hall of Fame. Like, that was ridiculous. And they can't do that to T.O. I would hope not, because it.
Not this day. Yeah.
It hits their much. Legitimacy.
I think sending a message now would just not be letting them in this year. But you cannot Terrell Owens out of the Hall of Fame. Like you, the writers really have to get out of their feelings, man. Seriously, me and T.O. could have had
piece
a
of me.
We could have had
I mean,
a fist
Barry,
fight. Like
Barry
him
Bonds
and
Roger Clemens. Now, here's my thing, though, right?
You could have kicked my ass, but T.O. is going in on the first ballot. Like, come on.
I mean, I guess the writer, this is the thing when you're giving the writers this kind of power, because at the end of the day, no matter what Hall of Fame it is, this kind of stuff is going to happen because of the human effect. I mean, Barry Bonds is better at his sport than T.O. is at his. I mean, I would say that. I mean, because in my opinion, Barry Bonds might be the greatest at his sport ever, all time, including Ruth and everybody else. So, you know, it is what it is, man. Like, I kind of figured this would happen, but I'm like, you know, maybe they'll let him in, because then I was like, nah, they're not going to do it. You know what I'm saying? So,
see, but there, even
you know,
with Bonds, though, Jimmy, there is more of a distinct reason why they're doing that. We know why they're doing that, whether we agree or not. You know, it has everything to do with, you know, the whole steroid conversation, PEDs or whatever. Like, T.O., they just don't like him. Like, we talked about it the other day. Like, T.O. is not
what I'm
dude
saying. That's, but that's
who was
what
on the police blotter all the time. They don't like T.O. just because of the things he says, the things he does in locker rooms that have nothing to do with them. He doesn't even show the media. He talks to the media.
It's the same thing, though. If people don't like you, they don't like you, whether it's for your use of drugs or whether it's because they just don't like you. I mean, you know, so at the end of the day, like, that we're human. You know what I'm saying? I can't say that if T.O. pissed me off for whatever reason, I wouldn't do
the
same thing.
Saying,
the reason I'm saying it's not the same thing is because those dudes, some of those dudes might be itching to put Barry Bonds in, but they don't want to be the ones who accept the quote-unquote PED culture. They don't want to be that dude, so they are. It's like a united front there. These other dudes are just being a-holes.
Yeah, but I mean, but it's the same thing. They could, some dudes probably want to put Tia in, but they don't want to be the one to vote for the asshole that everybody hates. I mean, so it's kind of.
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't see
that
being the same. Like, vote for the dude.
You can
if it's
point distinctly at the
feeling,
steroid thing. Yeah, you could point
to T.O. never cheated.
Bonds never
was accused of.
Never was accused.
He was never accused of. I mean, you know, that's either here nor there. But I'm just saying, like, you can point to that steroids thing and say, "Well, I want to take a stand against steroids." The same, but the T.O.
But the thing I'm saying, Jimmy, is that's not a personal stand. That's a baseball. That's them purists. That's like the rules. They're band together, and they're not letting anybody who was a part of that in the Hall of Fame. This is personal. This is just like, yo, we don't like this dude. You cannot deny this dude's numbers. And I agree with you, Barry Bonds is better at
his point. What I'm saying is, I'm thinking this is also a stand, too, in terms of, because if you look at the amount of votes that he didn't or did not get, like, yo, he didn't get any. Like, they wasn't messing with him at all.
I'm just giving you my opinion. I don't agree that it's some united stand. I just think that these dudes are individually in their feelings because they all have this old-timey way of thinking. But and the other thing,
no,
they're just
the
standing
line,
against it. There's a wall up. We're not letting these so-called.
I understand what you're saying.
I understand, but it all boils down to one thing,
and that's the human effect. But that's the only way that we can have a Hall of Fame, because all of it's subjective anyway. So it's like there's no way around that. Like, there really is no way around that. I mean, it is what it is. But, you know, eventually he'll probably get in, and I'm going to say probably because they may try to make an example out of Ball.
I think that's what they're doing. I think not allowing him first ballot, I think that's their message. But we'll see. Next year, I could be wrong, but I think that's their message. Because remember, everybody else holds that in way higher esteem than we do. Like, when we do our HOF or FOH, it's like, okay, we don't care about first ballot, second ballot. If this person is a Hall of Famer, say he's a Hall of Famer. That's how we
do. In the
quote-unquote real world of sports, that first ballot thing means a big deal.
Because
so
we always try to separate ourselves no matter what. I mean, that's just what we do. Like, we always got to one-up somebody. You know what I mean? It's sort of like the whole distinction of, like, I'm from Philadelphia. Then if you're in Philly, like, yo, I'm from North Philly. Then if you're in North Philly, I'm from, like, you know, this part. Like, you just keep breaking down. Like, so, yeah, so if we all in the Hall of Fame, it's like, how can I one-up you in the Hall of Fame? Well, I'm a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, so now they're taking that thing away from T.O.,
so I
which
wonder, like,
ludicrous.
When you get the first ballot, how do they even – because, you know, somebody thought of something to make themselves even seem more great than that. So who knows what that is. But, listen, we do have our first call who wants to give a prediction. We have him on the line now. We got the homie Uncle Mike calling in. So let's just open the phone lines up because we're going to have calls all show. Let's see. Rich. Uncle Mike, what's good?
Hey, what's going on, fam? How you feel?
How you?
What up?
I'm good. I'm chilling, man. Sitting here listening to the dialogue.
Super Bowl day, man. It's Super Bowl day, so give us your prediction for the game.
Well, first off, I want to congratulate you. You know, Jim, it's been a long time coming. And y'all squeaked past us to get in there, you know.
I know, you're a Steelers fan. Shout out to your Steelers, you know. It is what it is.
I really think that because of the Golden Boy bright lights that they have on the old man, your guy that's in there, that the edge kind of goes towards y'all. But the momentum with Cam and them is so great. It's going to be really, really tough. But for some odd reason, I think you're going to be a real happy guy tonight, Jimmy.
Oh, salute. I thought you was going somewhere else. That's what's up, man. I appreciate that.
I just think that Cam and them going to have to play against y'all and the referees and the national team.
But listen, though. Mike, here's the thing, though. I'm not one of these guys that argue with you. If the refs want to cheat for us, I'm all about that. Like, I'm I'm cool. Like, listen, man, I'm all about the wins, man. I'm a Ric Flair fan.
You mean,
bro,
like, if we
want to
film practice, if we want to deflate ball, that's all good.
I'm all about that life. I'm all about winning, man.
I understand. I completely respect y'all. I do. But I think Cam, a little bit of showboat. The NFL is like a secret Illuminati. If you don't do what they want you to do.
Ain't no secret. It ain't secret, It's right on out there at First Street.
Just like the Illuminati. Just like the Illuminati in 2016.
Come on, man. Right. Media day done turned into media night. They got it.
Yeah.
They run the show.
Yeah. So I just wanted to give y'all a shout out. I wanted to call in, show you some love. You know, I, of course, can I put my plug in? If
no,
no
doubt.
What I do.
Let them know. Let them know.
I am a YouTuber. I have a nice, funny, comical YouTube channel, Mr. Uncle Brist 30, where I do reviews on hip-hop music, a lot of your favorite artists. So all of the fans out there that, you know, being so Cam, want to bring out Future and Jeezy. If you did not see my Future review for Evil, you do not want to miss it. It's freaking hilarious, okay?
yeah.
And Jimmy knows how I feel.
And yeah, Uncle Brist will tell you if your album is trash, he will tell you that it's trash.
He will tell you it is trash.
So Uncle Brist, thank you, man. We got a gang of people on the phone, but we appreciate the call in, man. And you know, we'll definitely plug your show. We appreciate it, man.
No, and I appreciate y'all, man. Have a great day. And Jimmy, I'll hit you up later.
All right, take it easy.
All right, one.
Word. Uncle Brist.
We got another call on the line already. I think that's Philmatic. Is that Philmatic right there? Yeah, that's Philmatic. Let's get Philmatic on. He was here a couple years ago.
Yo, what up, family? Happy Super Bowl,
Jack. Niners fan. You was here a couple years ago, you know what I mean? The year we were supposed to play, y'all.
Y'all didn't want that work. We couldn't get over the real Super Bowl, the NFC Championship, but it's all good. No bringing up the past. How y'all doing today, fellas?
Pretty good, man. How are you? What you see for this evening? Who you got? Oh, we forgot to ask.
I see somebody waking up with a thoroughbred horse head in their bed. It's gonna be like that scene in The Godfather, yo. I got 34-17, Carolina. Ooh. Cam is the MVP. There will be a return for a touchdown for Carolina. I don't know if it's going to be Ted Ginn or on the defense, but it will be a return for a touchdown.
Somehow.
I think they're going to bring so much pressure up the middle on Peyton Manning. They're going to be it's going to force him to have to throw deep. They're not going to let him get no short passes off. All those little Demarius screens and all that, it's not happening. They're going to make him. But I will say, Jim, if Denver does win, it's good. It's because they hit some deep plays early, where he still has strength, like early in the first quarter, where he still has some strength in the arm to go deep. Because they're going to give him deep, because they don't think he can do it. So he's going to have to hit it early, because he's not going to be able to do it late.
I think after the fifth deep ball, like if he throws like a six, I think his arm might go flying with the ball.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Peyton's shoulder might just break off his body, and his arm might fly off with the rock. Like, yeah, he can't do that.
I think like how he did against when they squeaked by Pittsburgh, he got those two early ones to Owen Daniels, and it was a wrap after that. He got that one mercy lob to Emmanuel, and then it was a wrap after that. Yeah.
Listen, man. He had a couple weeks off, man. That's the key. The key is a couple weeks off. If you remember during the course of the season, like, you know, after the bye week and all that, Peyton looked like, you know, he was that dude, and then after that, when, you know, he can't play back to back weeks.
But he got that Derrick Rose. But how many deep passes did he throw? And that's the key. If he still was killing everybody with the short passes. I don't think anybody as tough as Carolina.
Hey, Tom Brady made a living out of throwing short passes, man.
Yeah.
Tom Brady got a great deep ball, though. You know, people don't realize that he don't throw the ball deep because of the limitations of his weapons. Peyton don't throw it deep.
I understand. I totally get that. What I'm saying is that's why it all comes down to game planning, man. Tom Brady, I've seen
but
Tom Brady beat teams not throwing any ball past 1 yard.
Again, but again, he doesn't have to. That wasn't out of necessity. That was out of choice. But if you take away the short passes, like Carolina should do, and I think they will do, if you take away those short passes and force him to throw deep, he can't. And if he does, then you guys will make this a lot more interesting than
Listen,
I think it's going to be.
All I'm saying is this, and I'm not saying which way this game's going to go yet. All I'm saying is against the Chiefs in this season. That was this season. When he had 2 weeks off.
You can't count Andy Reid teams, Joe. You can't count them. That's a
so now we can't count Andy Reid. They got the comeback player of the year out there, though.
Andy Reid is like a negative. Like he takes a team that got 100 rating and it brings it down to a 90. So you can't even count the Chiefs, Joe. Shout out to my brother Vibe, man. He'll tell you.
Hey, why y'all killing Pat Andy like that?
Well, Phil, thanks for your call, Phil. We got more calls we got to get to because we only have 4 hours, man.
Let me just give one shout-out. I got to give a shout-out to the homie Anquan Boldin for being the Walter Payton Man of the Year and to the best owner in football history, Ed DeBarlo, the only owner with 5 Super Bowl rings. Yes, the only owner with 5 Super Bowl rings. Steelers got 6
Norman
for the with the same.
Hey,
he's the only one with
Had the Niners fallen off so bad that we get excited about NFL Man of the Year awards? Is that how bad it is in San Fran?
Oh, you don't care about helping the people, Jim?
No, I love the people. No, that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you talked about those 5 championships, but you're giving a shout out to the NFL Man of the Year. I mean, that shows you, like, it's bad. I mean, that's what y'all got to look forward to. I hope he wins it again next year.
Oh, at least we'll have an award when this night is over. The AFC Championship don't count, yo. That's like getting a BET award, yo.
Can your squad beat my squad right now, right this minute?
Ooh, good point. Good question.
No, we can't.
All right, Phil.
But
all right, take it easy, Phil. Thanks for the call, man.
Y'all have a good day.
Take it easy.
All right, Phil. Hey, Jim, before we go to the next caller, so just keep in mind now, you know, today's game all of a sudden is featuring 2 league MVPs. You know, Peyton has a few. Cam got his first one last night. When people talk about who they think the MVP of the actual game is going to be, in my opinion, I really don't see, like, it's all about, you know, what we've been talking about. B and I were on a Mad Scientist show last night. We're trying to figure out if Peyton can bring that magic back just one more time. In my opinion, I think the Broncos do end up winning this game. I think there's probably a laundry list of people who could possibly win the MVP. But for some reason, I don't think Peyton is really on that list. Now, if the Panthers win the Super Bowl, I think it's no-brainer. I think, you know, Cam will probably be the MVP. Of course, they have some people on defense who could step it up to that level. But we know, you know, what makes Carolina go, at least, you know, when things get exciting. So that's crazy. You got 2 MVPs coming into the game. But as far as
speaking of that, I just want to mention one thing that I was reading last night after Cam won the MVP. He's getting – if he can pull this game out, he's going to put himself in an elite class in terms of football. There's only one other person to ever win, like, a national championship, a Heisman Trophy, a league MVP, and a Super Bowl. There's only one person in the history of the game to ever do that, which was Marcus Allen. There's been several people that have won, like, 3 of those or 2 of those. But – and Cam has a step further. He also won the JUCO national championship before he won the college national championship. So Cam has been winning forever, which is why when he first got to Carolina, he didn't know how to deal with losing because the Bears has won literally at every level.
Which I was trying to explain to somebody on the page because they were – you know, somebody comes to our Facebook page and asks every week, is Cam an elite quarterback now? And he named all the accolades that you just did. And in my opinion, I'm like, okay, you're confusing
being a great football player and a winner to being an elite quarterback. I think Cam has the work ethic and the capacity to be there sooner rather than later. But I'm like, let's pump the brakes and just let it happen. Enjoy the ride. Like, we want to flip that bird around as soon as somebody has one great season.
Yeah, that's how it is. That's how it is. But that's what it is in all sports, Dev. No one wants to be late to the party. So instead of letting things progress, they just want to say they were first to the party. I told you years ago he was going to do that. And the thing is, Cam, like you said, has the work ethic unlike any quarterback we've seen. I mean, you know,
like RG3 fans tried to do.
I was trying to say that without saying that.
Party got canceled.
Yeah. So the thing is, though, you have to let things play out. But I understand the need of people to say, I told you about him XYZ. But Cam is having a season, like an all-time great season, man. There's nothing you can take away from that dude right now. We got several more calls on the line. Let's get YG on. YG's calling in.
Yo, this is super-duper long distance.
Yo, from Lego.
YG, we got you on. Tell the people where you're calling from, YG.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm calling from Lagos, Nigeria, live and direct.
Salute!
Yo, worldwide.
Worldwide, watch.
Hey, what time is it in Lagos?
It's 6:30 p.m. Lagos time. So I'm in the middle of I just made my wings, my dip. I'm just trying to get ready because I'm hosting the Super Bowl party. And I'm getting ready to go to the venue. It's bigger and better this year. We got a lot more people coming through this year. This is our third year doing it. So I want to get to the venue. I got a room over there, and I'm going to take a nap, and then wake up around.
Roger, I was just about to say that. I'm like, you got a nap on deck, don't you?
Yeah, I always got a nap on deck. I have to. Because the game goes on until 5:30.
YG is about this sports life, yo, because YG keeps up with American sports, UK sports, and African sports. He's about that life.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm talking to you guys,
and I'm watching the Manchester United Chelsea game right now. And my son, he's a Man U fan like me, so we're both watching the game. My wife is not going to let me wake him up at 12:30 for Super Bowl, so he's not quite ready yet on this side of the world. It's going to be an exciting game.
My son is 4, and he's here, and he probably won't see the game either. He might see I can't even see the first hour because they do so much before the game starts. That's going to take up all of his time. But what do you see happening, Roger? Who you got tonight, and who's going to be the MVP?
Well, the way I see it, if Carolina can get a large enough spread going into the fourth quarter, then I think they're gonna nick it. But if they allow Denver to come back, and with that defense I'm seeing from Denver, man, then I think Peyton Manning might just pull out some magic. But right now, with all the injuries and the way Carolina's been playing all season, I mean, they've only lost one game to yours faithfully, the Atlanta Falcons. But beyond that, I see Carolina taking it.
All right. MVP?
Yeah. Oh, MVP. If Carolina wins it, I like the analysis from the previous call. If Carolina wins it, then Cam Newton is definitely going to get it. But if Denver win, it's going to be somebody from Denver's defense because they've just been sick all year. I don't see
that
wasn't
him. That was me. that's definitely how I see it.
All right, cool. Well, kudos to you on that.
Denver wins
this. Perfect analysis.
Yeah, I think the defense is going to have to take it home if they win. Hey, YG, man, you know we truly appreciate your call. Super long distance.
Good luck on your
party. I mean, I like how you do that every year, and you know the time that you spent over here, you're bringing back some of that culture and sharing it with the people over there. So have a great party. I'll hit you up on Facebook during the game.
Definitely. So
I'm about to
get to the venue and get this nap, and I'll hit you guys up on Facebook.
All right,
best of luck. All right,
man,
you said
that.
Salute.
All right, take care. All right. Yeah, West Africa with it.
Yeah, no doubt, man. Let's jump to another caller. We got Ron Glover calling in. He's from the starting five. Let's see how he sees this game. Ron, what's going on? Let's see.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, Ron, we got you on. What's going on, Ron?
Nothing, man. What's going on, fellas?
How are you?
Not much.
I'm good. How's everybody?
All right.
Pretty
how
good.
You see
what,
the game,
what's
going
to happen this evening?
Oh, man. I just watched some stats on Peyton Manning, and I'm a little nervous. I've been nervous, but it's game day now, so I'm a little more nervous than what I thought I would be. I like Carolina 36-20, but I think the Panthers probably pulled this thing out late.
Okay.
And like someone said earlier, I don't know if it was a caller or one of you guys, if Peyton gets off early, that may be the best thing for Denver. Like if they win the toss, the offense has to take the ball.
Right. And
they have
to
march right down the field, and you've got to use Peyton while he's still fresh. Because there's no telling what type of beating he's going to take over the course of the game.
Yo, I agree with that.
You ain't never lying. Some people don't realize just how old Peyton is. Peyton is older than me.
In football, yeah.
And I'm tired, like, walking in the crib and going up the steps. And my man Peyton is getting hit by people twice his age and having to get up. Like, people don't understand just how old Peyton is. But I think that caller's right, and you're also absolutely right. Like, Peyton has to stay fresh, and they have to, like, you know, get up early. And also, with that being said, Carolina's a younger team. So I think B. Austin mentioned it, the bright lights. When it starts getting in the clutch, if they don't have, like, a commanding lead,
exactly,
you know, that moment might be too big for them. So Carolina, the key for Carolina on the other side is to jump on Denver early.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? That's,
that's
the key for them. You know what I'm saying?
Which is what they've been doing to, you know, to a lot of teams this year and even in the playoffs.
Season.
And I think if they do jump out like that, I don't think Denver's going to have the offensive capacity to come back. So Carolina, I think more than either one of these teams, needs a really, really fast start to lock this up. But I agree with the, you know, with the Peyton Manning freshness. You got to keep him fresh and do something early as well.
Yeah, now I've heard a lot of talk about, you know, we've talked about the quarterbacks. We've talked about, you know, the defenses. What about Denver's running game? Because it's been iffy all season. And
they need
those guys today.
Which is crazy because ending last season, you thought that, you know, C.J. Anderson was going to be that guy and you know, we're just going to take off and go from there. But he hasn't played as well as he did last season. And Ronnie Hillman, in the words of B. Austin, does nothing but run up the back of his offensive lineman. And he also has this tendency to fumble the ball at the worst times. But
the thing about all the measurables in terms of underwear, like they can get him the field, he's turning into
B. Austin, you in the Matrix. But the thing about it is they've shown flashes throughout the season, but they haven't been consistent at all.
Right.
Like even in that last game, C.J. Anderson broke a couple runs, which solidified the game. But I think that's going to be key as well, who can establish that running game. Because Denver's been pretty good at stopping the running game as well, and that's one of Carolina's strong suits. They run the ball right down your mouth with their nasty offensive line. So
it's going
to be interesting, man. It's definitely going to be interesting. There's a lot of things that can happen. These last several bowls, not just this one, have been great matchups. Like, you know, outside of, like, the Seattle-Denver game, which got out of hand early. Like,
well, we thought that was a great matchup.
We thought it was a good matchup.
Yeah.
Everything fell apart.
But it was similar to this game in that Denver was still one of those things where Seattle just jumped on top of them and Denver could never recover.
Right.
So as long as that doesn't happen, I'm hoping we have a good game.
Yeah, I think we will. As far as MVPs, I think if Denver does win, it's either going to be Von Miller or DeMarcus Ware.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning more toward Von Miller because he's been out of his mind since the
playoff.
Yeah, yeah.
Y'all don't think they'll try to force it to Peyton if Denver wins? You know how the league is. They see him going out his last
game. Depending on what he does.
He might throw for 125 yards and two touchdowns. They're going to give it to him.
If it's all defense, there's no way they're going to be able to do that.
Yeah.
They will try. If he does anything worthy, if he, like, throws a late touchdown and that ends up being, like, his only touchdown pass, then they might try to do that.
Right.
I mean, they gave it to him the first time when he didn't have a great game, but nobody on the defense really, really stood out. But he has some horses on the defense now.
Yeah.
So, if they're balling, you know, somebody over there is going to shine, so.
A couple of those MVPs he got in the league he shouldn't have got. You know what I mean? Shout out to Steve McNair. But go ahead, though.
I think if Carolina wins, if Cam is responsible for, like, four scores, throws for three, runs for one, you know, you can't deny him.
Yeah,
but,
which is the norm.
Yeah. Something in my head is just – I keep thinking Ted Ginn. And the reason I'm thinking Ted Ginn Jr. is because of his – ability to make something happen in the special teams game.
Yeah.
If he brings these guys out to the 40.
He can end up catch a 60-yard bomb, run a kickback.
Yeah, he can do.
He does also have the ability. He has the ability to drop the ball. He has shown.
I was about to go there.
But you know what? Cam trusts him more than anybody else has ever trusted.
He got
no choice. Look who else they got.
He got 10 thumbs instead of fingers. So, yeah, he'll drop that.
Yeah, he's dropped some fingers too.
That's his nickname in our war room, 10 thumbs again. Anyway, yeah, man, but, you know, so your overall pick, Ron, is who? Who's your overall pick?
I'm going to take Carolina, 36-20.
Okay, Carolina, you did say that, 36-20, I think you said it. Okay, yeah. Cool. That's what's up,
thanks,
man.
Ron,
listen,
we appreciate
man.
Your
thanks
call.
Thanks for the call. We
no
definitely
problem,
appreciate
man. Thanks for having me on. I'll be back.
All right, take it easy, homie.
All right.
All right, that's Ron from the Starting Five, everybody.
Absolutely.
Make sure y'all check out their website.
Damn, we got a couple more callers. We got Cassandra. We
I know. I'm like, we ain't going to get no analysis in, but this is what's up. This is
hey,
what we
some silver
on
just for
Super Bowl.
Hey, let's bring
Cassandra
on. We want
everybody to tailgate with us.
Let's bring right. Cassandra on. Cassandra,
hello?
How are you? Can you hear
me? Hi. I can
how
hear you.
How are you?
I'm good. How's everybody?
Cassandra. Thanks for the call, dear.
You're welcome. I don't know why I'm here, though. Okay. I'm kidding.
Who's going to win the Super Bowl?
I'll sing it like Manny would. Carolina in the third. You know how he says, chicken parm, it tastes so good. Carolina in the third.
We got it.
Where my heart is. I really feel like Cam is going to pull it out. That's what I want to happen. But I am realistic and understand, you know, this is Peyton's swan song. He's probably going to – he already has a great, you know, drive. So I can see him, you know, taking advantage of his experience and the fact that Cam doesn't have any to kind of pull this out. But at the same time, I think Cam has really demonstrated many, many times that experience isn't the final word. And that if you have your head on straight, you can, you know, pull out anything. And I know that he wants it and that he really has been guided by that this season. So I feel like everything's coming together for him and it would be great for him to win. And ironically, you know, Peyton won, like, his first season, right? I think it was his first season. Well, it was 2006. It was early.
It was his first appearance, and that's what we always talk about here. Like experience, when it comes to like the Super Bowl, it may not be as important as we all try to make it out to be. Because look, a lot of teams, besides the usual suspects, the Brady's, the Mannings, and who else, Roethlisberger. Besides those kind of guys, a lot of people only get one shot at this. So there's a lot of one-time Super Bowl winners out there. They were never in the game before, but they got in it, and they won it. So you never know.
Very true. I mean, I don't think that's going to be Cam's story. At least I hope it isn't. But, I mean, even if he were, like, I guess I look at a lot of things when I look at this. Like, I've been looking at Cam Newton quotes and Peyton Manning quotes. They have a very similar mentality about, you know, failure not being an option and, you know, winning being, you know, the – penultimate, you know, answer to any excuse. You know what I'm saying? So they have a similar mentality. And if that bears out, then to me it would be, you know, logical in a way for Cam to win, just like with his first appearance in the Super Bowl. So, you know.
Okay.
So it's not like, you know, in-depth athletic analysis, but that's where my heart is, and I hope it
will. No, we're just looking for picks, that's all. So if they if they do win, you got Cam Newton as the MVP of the game?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Okay. I mean, I don't want to say it that definitively because he has a team behind him, and he's always acknowledged that, but it's no, you know, it's not uncommon. You know, it's not uncommon knowledge that he has been the MVP all season. So I definitely expect him to get it for this.
Right, and on his team, the defense is great, but no matter how good they play, he always accounts for at least 3 touchdowns per game. So that'll get you the MVP and Super Bowl every time. Well, thank you, Cassandra, for your call.
And Cassandra, We have a message. We have a message from Rob who's calling into us now. He said just to tell Cassandra she has a beautiful voice. I mean, it's kind of inappropriate, but I had to tell you. I had to tell you anyway.
So we got callers that's about to come on, flirting with the callers that are.
Yeah, so there goes that, Cassandra. I told him I'd pass the message to you. But thanks for the call, Cassandra.
Thank you.
Cassandra, salute.
Rob always trying to get some yin.
I know. Rob off the hook, man. Let's bring Rob on, man. Hey, Rob.
He didn't even get on the line yet.
Hey, Rob.
Produce a screen.
I pass your message up, for man. You, Rob. You happy, man? I pass your message on for you, man.
Yo, Jimmy is a good wingman. He can come out in the club anytime. Shout out to Jimmy, man. Anyways, man. yo, actually, now I am wingman, more like a co-pilot. But, yo, it's Super Bowl Sunday. It's a big game. It's the game.
It's the biggest game.
Huh?
I said it's the biggest game. It's the Super Bowl. This is the one game where you know that everybody is going to be watching. So that's why it's a lot of pressure on people because on a regular Sunday, you know, people could be watching any game. But this game, you know the entire world is going to be watching. Even people don't even watch football.
Literally. The world. Shoot,
we
just had somebody call in from Nigeria talking about they having a Super Bowl party. The world is
going
to be watching.
So with all that being said, Rob, who's your pick, man? You got that much time, but I want to know who's your pick and who's your MVP.
And my mind is telling me to go Peyton Manning.
My mind is telling me no.
sometimes.
But my forehead.
Go ahead, Rob. Who you got? Who you got, King? Who you got?
More like a 9.5 head, but. Yo,
that's all right. That's just brains, man. That's just brains, brother.
You've been on hold like 20 minutes. Man. You
think y'all ain't gonna let my man get a stick off for what, man?
Yo, the key to players in this game that we should look at is Sylvester Williams, the nose tackle, and we should look at Brandon Marshall and Danny and the inside linebackers. If they get off and knock the bleep out of Cam Newton when he runs that ball from the first hit, just to let them know it's going to be a long day. The Denver Broncos could win this game because this game is either going to be a defensive game or it's going to be a blowout because I do think that the Panthers have more bullets than the Broncos. However, if they do go, let's say, 20-0, 20-7 going into the fourth quarter, I do think the Broncos could come back because that's just how Peyton Manning is. Peyton Manning thrives under adversity.
That's how Peyton Manning was.
I mean, it's hard. And also, we have to remember the Denver Broncos are 0-2 versus black quarterbacks in the Super Bowl. So that I do have to count that. So
I'm not even gonna comment on that one, Rob. Like it's true.
It's true.
But what the H does that mean, though, man? Anyway, Rob,
stats,
man.
That we talk about, Jim. Like,
that's some stats that my man Chris Eisen was throwing out on random ass stats. Cam is the first person to go to Catholic school and also rush for 100 yards in a game. Like this is dumb stuff. But Rob, though, man, thanks for the call.
Panthers 30, the Broncos 20.
All right, no doubt. We got you on the record. Thanks, Rob. Thanks for the call, as always.
LeBron James is the first ever NBA player to get a 15-15 double double on a Tuesday night after 7:00 p.m. He did that. I'm
all right, Rob.
I saw it.
Take it easy, homie.
All right, peace, man.
Yo, we got the homie on the line as well. Let's bring him on before we start giving our analysis. We got the homie Hub calling in.
The number one future fan.
What's good, Hub?
What's going on?
Sports overtime. What up, Hub?
What's going on? Yeah, I just wanted to drop my pick real quick. I ain't got too much time. I'm going with a turkey neck Manning and the Broncos 21-17. I know the type of pressure the Panthers running game applies on defenses, but the Broncos defense is extremely fast, and I don't think the Panthers score over 20 points today. So I got the Broncos in the win. Yeah,
no doubt. My
MVP. I got Von Miller. I think he gets about 3 sacks today, 2.5.
Okay.
Von
Miller and the Broncos. All right, hey, man, shout out to you, Sports Overtime.
Yeah,
man.
Sports Overtime, and all that.
Yeah, I know. I know a lot of people said, you know, the Seattle's defense is just as fast as the Broncos, but you know, Bruce Irvin and Michael Bennett, they're not Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware. So, yeah, Cam gonna have his work cut out today, man. He got to work for everything.
Right. Absolutely, absolutely, that's gonna be a major key. You know what I mean, so but
one awkward hit. All right, cuz.
All right, my.
Well, look,
yeah, man, it's interesting. The callers, the board is lighting up.
Yeah, man, no doubt. I think it's interesting, and it's funny because Rob is the only one who mentioned what I think is the key to damn near every football game, and that's the fat boys up front on both sides of the line, the D tackle as well as the linebackers behind them, and that could be key because if you can keep Cam contained and slow that running game down and force him to, you know, to stand in the pocket and deliver the ball. It'll be a difficult time for Carolina, considering the secondary the Broncos have. It's one thing, because if you give somebody enough time in the NFL, any quarterback can look great. I tell people all the time, just look at how good Carson Palmer is when he gets time, until he gets in the clutch, obviously. But until he gets time, you know, when he gets time, he picks you apart. But when you put pressure and start beating him up, it's a whole different quarterback. Same thing applied to Brady in the AFC Championship.
Or just make him think. Because remember, we talked a couple of weeks ago, Jim, like, the pressure wasn't even that smothering on Carson Palmer, but they threw some looks back there that
they
made him think.
I wasn't
speaking about that game. I'm talking about this entire season. Carson Palmer had an MVP season.
Right.
He had an MVP season, and a lot of that was predicated on the fact that he had time. You know what I mean? Like, he had time. When he played for the Raiders, my man was, like, running for his life. So he didn't even look like the same quarterback.
You know how it is. Once you get into the playoffs, you're playing the best of the best, and defensive coordinators are in there making their money. So even if they're not pressuring you, they throw you some looks. You got to be smart enough. And
hey, man.
That's
I want to take the time. Jimmy brought up a great point. I want to take the time to shout the fat men out because the fat men never get any love. Ryan Khalil, Andrew Norwell, Michael Orr, Mike Remmers, Chris Scott. That's the offensive line for the Carolina Panthers. Mario, Jared Allen, Coney Ealy, Charles Johnson, and Kawan Short, also star Latulile. Those are the fat guys on the other side of the ball for the Carolina Panthers. We hear all about the skill position players, but those are the guys that I think are the key to the game, putting pressure on Manning. They're going to have to hit that man, and they're going to have to protect dude. They're going to have to protect Cam.
All right.
So that's
all right. Before we make our picks, we got one more call on the line that we're going to take. We got the homie Joel calling in. What up, homie? You're in the war room.
Yo, what's going on, guys? How are you?
Man,
how are you?
I'm just ready for some
good,
football,
man.
Yeah,
I know. It's bittersweet, though, man. It's the last game. You know, we're all excited, but we're not going to see another one for another few months.
When do pitchers and catchers report, though? When do pitchers and catchers report?
I'm a TV head.
Like
I get the catch up on the DVR. I'm good.
Yeah, in about 3-4 weeks, man.
Okay.
But before I make my prediction, though, man, this season was kind of whack to me, yo. Like, it's I don't know.
You killed the whole season, though.
I feel that. I think the last few seasons of the NFL has been kind of whack, but it's the NFL. Like, we're never going to stop watching. So.
Yeah.
Do y'all really think
so,
though? Like what is whack about the last couple seasons, though? Like, I don't know what's whack about it. I mean, I look at
games from week to week. First of all, it's a lot of blowouts in the league. And, you know, this is supposed
to be
the league.
I know, but the playoffs are always good to me. Like, the drama in the playoffs, like, that's Steelers Bengals game for me.
That's for every league.
You can get the drama in the playoffs in any sport, though. Before the last maybe 2 years, it felt like the regular season was like a playoff now. And it just doesn't seem that way now. It just seems like you kind of know who's going to be at the end. And then it doesn't matter, like, who you play them. It's more when you play them now. Like, you know, the guys
in that case, basketball ain't been good in, like, 15 years.
That's right. I've never cared about the basketball regular season, though. Basketball regular, half the league makes the playoffs. I've never cared about the NFL, what's your name?
Yeah.
The NFL, I mean, NBA regular season. Those games never matter to me.
I got you, though. So what do you think about the regular season?
The regular season NFL always felt like it meant something. It doesn't really feel like it anymore. Now, as far as my prediction goes, I think Denver's going to win, man. Reason why, one, teams who score as many points as Carolina does in the Super Bowl, they don't seem to do that. You know, it's I remember New England when they were 16-0, they didn't put up a bunch of points. Denver a couple years ago, I think they scored the most points in the history of the league, right?
Yeah, they got smashed.
You know,
Minnesota a few years ago. You know, those teams was, I mean, there are some different, you know, even St. Louis. St. Louis won the Super Bowl, but they didn't score a lot of points in that Super Bowl either, man. The Super Bowl that they won against Tennessee. It just seems like they don't do what they normally do in the Super Bowl. And Denver's defense is real. I think Denver's defense is better than Carolina. And they have guys on the outside that can contain Cam. And their second, their corners are really good. I think their offense is going to do enough. I think they're going to win. Like a 21-16 kind of game. That's what I think.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. MVP.
All right. Who's your
MVP?
A gift for Peyton or somebody on that?
I hope not. I don't see him doing anything super to do. But if they do it, then the whole white privilege thing. But if if I were to pick an MVP, I'm probably going to go defense, like a Chris Harris type guy. I could see him making a couple big plays to win the Super Bowl. I could see that happening.
All right. We got a pick for Chris Harris Jr. for MVP.
All right, thanks for your call. Enjoy the game, man.
No problem. You too, man.
All right, take it easy.
We got a service woman on social media that gave us a shout-out, Remy Smith. She's picking Carolina to win 36-32, and Cam is her MVP. So,
shout out to the ladies love Cam, cuz.
I see that.
All right, so as we know, my pick, I always think that I might waver from Thursday's show to Sunday's show. My pick is going to stay the same. Actually, a lot of the analysis that the callers called in and gave is where I am with mine. Like there's certain situations and scenarios where I think certain things can happen, but all in all, even though I don't think just on a straight up any given Sunday type of thing that Denver at the moment can score with Carolina, I think Denver's defense is going to show up and make it very difficult for Carolina in that high scoring offense. So I'm going to go Denver 24, Carolina 21. And my MVP is also going to be Von Miller. I think he's going to have a hell of a day.
All right. Now, anyone who knows me or has read Sports the Book, which is available at sportsthebook.com, knows that I'm a diehard Broncos fan. So, it's going to be difficult to pick against the Broncos. Let's just keep it a bean. But I have the Broncos winning this game. I think that Peyton Manning actually plays well because of having the 2 weeks off. But here's my crazy prediction. Peyton Manning gets knocked out of this game. Brock Osweiler comes in and wins the game and wins the MVP just so people could slander Peyton for the rest of his career and say he couldn't even win.
Peyton Manning is out of control. Hold on, let me finish,
B. If Peyton can stand up the whole game and play, I think DeMarcus Ware is going to shock people. I think that he's been a veteran in the league for a while, and this is his opportunity to get it done. So not Von Miller, but DeMarcus Ware. Yeah, so watch out for DeMarcus Ware. That's the other thing, though. But salute to Carolina for the amazing season one way or another, and salute to Cam. B. Austin, go ahead.
Hey, B, hashtag hating on Peyton.
Hashtag hating on Peyton. Listen, I picked the your Denver Broncos, Jimmy, 34-28. I believe that the Broncos are not only balanced but dynamic.
How do you want to score 34, though?
I believe you're gonna see Peyton come
old
out.
Peyton?
Old Peyton. Not old Peyton, but the old Peyton of yesteryear. You're gonna see him come out. I see him throwing for about 300 yards, three touchdowns.
Damn.
I think CJ Anderson is gonna get a break late in the game.
All right, man, you got the
half.
Broncos, man. We got 10 seconds left, man. You got the Broncos? All right, man. We gotta get out of here. Thanks for joining us in the war room before our Super Bowl 50 pregame tailgate. Shout out to everybody in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and all the people who called in. We definitely appreciate the support as always. Tune in next week, regular time, regular place. That's on Thursday. You can also check everything out on our podcast network, WRSPN.com. So until then, enjoy the big game, and we'll see you right back here next time. Catch all of our conversations, Facebook, Twitter, everything at War Room Sports, and go to warroomsports.com to keep track of everything we do. Also, make sure to pick up my book, Sports the Book. That's at sportsthebook.com or go right to warroomsports.com. Until next time, everybody, don't accept mediocrity. Be steadfast in the war against ignorance, and we'll see you chumps on top.
Word.
Know the blueprint.
Yo.
Every Thursday, 6 to 8, they do this. Shout out to Dez, PJ, B. Austin, Doc Bay on replay. WarRoomSports.com. Get that mobile app. It's not dialed.
Call it
323 looking 0012. They be going and you sensitive, then oh well.
Yeah.
Physical podcast, the tough push. Showtime like magic in the block push.
Magic.
Listen live, push one to join in. Rip your team or listen for your enjoyment. Hip hop dollars, pit stop and knowledge. Should be in sports credits, I ain't talking college. Five guys, no beef though. Corporate secret, but the streets know. Belafonte, I got a G flow. KC, royalty, I'm in beast mode.
Woo!
2 hours, get your game up. Who's the best in sports cat? You better name us.
War Room Sports.
War Room Sports, www.warroomsports.com. What? Ain't no more to it.